bastard storm. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise.
Welcome to Finding God in Prison with Joe Montone, the founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And now, here's your host, Joe Montone.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to Holy Spirit Radio. My name is Joe Montone, your host here at Finding God in Prison. Friday, September 4th, it is a beautiful day. I want to thank you for tuning in with us today. And let me just say thank you to Dale and Jane for having me back on the air once again, and also for Frank for producing our show. Today's show is dedicated to our Blessed Mother Mary, whose birthday is coming up Tuesday, September 8th, which is 9 months after the solemnity of her Immaculate Conception, which is celebrated on December 8th. So we want to thank you again for tuning in with us today, and we want to also wish a happy birthday to cousin Tina Lunardi in Melbourne, Australia. And we wish you the very best, a great day and a wonderful year. May the Lord bless you, and may the Blessed Mother always be at your side. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So today, my friends, our show is dedicated to our Blessed Mother Mary. And, you know, we really need our help more now than ever, because of the things going on in our nation today are truly not peaceful. And to bring the peace, we really need to invoke the help of our Blessed Mother Mary. And you know, this is Finding God in Prison and a WINGS program, which is a reentry program, a mentoring program for more than 25 years, and for 10 years in the Philadelphia prison system. We want to give you a little bit of information today as we get started with regards to the number of people confined in prison today. And my friends, when it comes to the youth, approximately 52,000 youth are confined, all right? And in the juvenile justice system, more than 44,000 people, okay, in the United States. This is incredible information that is really up to date. Almost 70,000 people are confined for immigration reasons. We have 22,000 justice system involuntary commitments that are currently in place. And when we look at the entire pie throughout the United States, we have 2.3 million people who are incarcerated in correctional facilities, more than 3.6 million on probation, and 840,000 on parole. So there is a great need for mentoring of inmates and to focus on the changes that they need to make in moving them forward and building a new life. It's very, very important, very critical. And that's what the WINGS program has been doing since 1993, helping to turn people around, touch the hearts and minds of men who are incarcerated. And we have been doing that in the Philadelphia prison system for close to 10 years. And I'll just tell you that one of the reasons we do it is because God has called us to do it. And what God says to do is very important. Today we see, you know, many people out there in the streets who are not bringing the peace, who are actually committing crimes because they want to get a message across. And the message, you know, that they want to get across is very important. We've always been able to protest and rally and to get messages across in a peaceful way. But there's no need truly to be destructive and to take the lives of people and to destroy property. So in our last show, we highlighted crimes in America and also support for the police department. And we continue to advocate for that and to encourage you to truly prepare to vote for the people who are standing up for our police officers throughout the nation and the people who are bringing peace to our nation, which is so important. And so as we, you know, move forward in the show, Finding God in Prison, we want to invoke the help of our Blessed Mother Mary, truly. And as I said earlier, her birthday is coming up on December 8th. And on September 8th, exactly 9 months after the Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception on December 8th. And this is, you know, very, very important that we open up our hearts and our minds and to identify some of the, you know, feast days of Our Lady, truly, that are so important. In August, the 15th of August, we celebrated the Assumption of Mary into heaven, the fourth glorious mystery, you know, in the prayer, the rosary prayer, which we'll be talking about, given to St. Dominic many, many years ago in the 12th century. On August 22nd, we celebrate the coronation of our Blessed Mother Mary as Queen of Heaven and of Earth, the fifth glorious mystery. Very powerful, you know, event that we celebrate to identify our Blessed Mother as the Queen of Heaven and the Queen of Earth. All that Mary did for Jesus in his life, death, and resurrection, for carrying him for 9 months, for bringing him to birth, and basically, you know, caring for him in his 33 years here on earth, loving him, feeding him, teaching him, protecting him, for all that our Blessed Mother did in his life, and then seeing him through his death, because she was there. And at the foot of the cross, she was there. And we're going to talk about these kinds of things today, which is so important, to give our Blessed Mother Mary, to honor her, and to let her know truly that we care, because she is the mother of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And so we want to invoke her help to get to our Lord's help, and basically ask that the Lord intercede for us and be there and grant us truly a peaceful nation once again. And when never before do we need it as much as we do today. But for all that our Blessed Mother did, we want to, you know, identify these feast days that are so important. And coming up on September 15th, we celebrate Our Lady of Sorrows. And in the prayer to Our Lady of Sorrows, we have seven events. The first being the prophecy of Simeon, okay, who basically foretold what was going to happen to Jesus in his life and his death, and that our Blessed Mother Mary's heart would be pierced with a sword. The flight into Egypt, okay, which is in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew 2, verses 13 to 15, you know, when basically, you know, we have to look at the protection of our Lord as a child, and when Joseph and Mary had to flee and had to protect our Lord. The loss of Jesus in the temple when he was gone for 3 days, the third sorrowful mystery of our Lord's seven sorrows. And the fourth sorrowful event when Mary meets Jesus on the way to Calvary, when the Lord carries his cross, and Our Lady was there to see him do it. And he fell three times, and he did it all for us. And Our Lady was there watching, crying, and, you know, really helping to carry through the Father's plan as she was there from the beginning. The next sorrowful event, when Mary stands at the foot of the cross, okay, and here we have the great message of forgiveness when the Lord looks down and basically says to everyone, Father, you know, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And we have that gift of unconditional forgiveness from our Lord. And it's a very powerful message that the Lord gives us from the top of the cross. But he also, at the top of the cross, gives to St. John, he gives Mary as his mother. And he says, son, behold your mother. Woman, behold your son. And this is powerful because Blessed Mother Mary, you know, is the mother of Jesus. In the Gospel of Luke, it says, all generations will call me blessed. It's very powerful, and it's all part of the Father's plan for salvation. And as we look at the next sorrowful mystery, Mary receives the dead body of Jesus in her arms, the Pietà. It's a powerful image that's been there for millenniums. And it's just an incredible image where Our Lady is the recipient of her son's body. And that image itself is worldly. It's around the world, people know the image. And so we want to recognize the sorrow, once again, that Our Lady has gone through in her life, in seeing the Father's plan for salvation to come to fruition. And then the seventh sorrowful event, when Jesus is placed into the tomb. So Our Lady suffered a great deal. And it's an amazing, you know, thing to understand the seven sorrows that Our Lady went through. And there were others. But in that prayer, we identify these seven events, which are, you know, very powerful events in the life of Jesus and the death of Jesus. And so we look to Our Lady to give us strength, truly, because she was strong, and the Father gave her the strength and the courage to be by the Lord's side in his life and death. And through his resurrection, Our Lady was truly, you know, present. And we look to, you know, the prayer, truly the rosary prayer that was given to St. Dominic and many years ago as a way of calling out to Our Lady. And I just want to go through it here for a second, that Dominic, that we call St. Dominic today, was born in Spain of a wealthy family. Some years after his ordination, the bishop took Dominic with him on a visit to southern France, where a heresy or doctrine opposed to the teachings of the church was being taught. Many people were leaving the church to follow this false teaching. Dominic decided to remain in France and devote his life to preaching and to leading people back to the faith. The dog carrying a torch represents the fire of his zeal for souls. He went to Rome and told the Pope that he wanted to establish a religious order whose duty would be preaching and teaching. The new order was called the Order of Preachers or the Dominicans. Once, when Dominic became discouraged with the slow progress of his work, Our Lady appeared to him with a beautiful wreath of roses. She asked him to say the rosary every day and to teach the people to say the rosary. Soon the heresy began to disappear. Before his death in 1221, Dominic also founded an order of nuns to care for young girls. And so the rosary prayer, now over, you know, 800 years old, is an amazing prayer that highlights the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Such a powerful event that world time is based on the Lord's death and resurrection. And we have to recognize that. And Our Lady truly has been blessed by our Lord to give us that information, helping us to pray throughout the world with a focus on the Lord's life, death, and resurrection. The 15 events, the original rosary that was given to us, And it's very powerful. And we just want to highlight that again, because we're giving honor to Our Lady today as the Queen of Heaven and of Earth, as the mother of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so with her birthday coming up, we say, you know, happy birthday to Our Lady coming up on September 8th. And we pray for the intentions of our Blessed Mother, and that the Lord will bless this nation and this world with peace once again. More than anything on earth, we need peace. And this is very important. So we ask through the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary that the Lord bring peace to our nation once again. So I'd like to share with you some stories of how our Blessed Mother truly worked in my life. She has, brought us to where we are today. You know, it was in the summer of 1992 when a gentleman who worked for U.S. Customs and I had a conversation. I was an airline pilot at the time and working for TWA, and Pan Am had, gone out of business after the bombing of Pan Am 103 and the war in the Gulf, and I was considering working for U.S. Customs. And this gentleman said to me, he said, you know, Joe, if you come to work for U.S. Customs, you'll be a pilot on this aircraft. You'll be based here. This is your salary. And these are the kinds of things you'll be doing as a pilot for the government. And then he said to me, after about 10 minutes of conversation, he said to me, Joe, tell me, are you a religious person? I said, am I a religious person? I said, well, really, I'm not. I do go to church on most Sundays, but I don't consider myself to be a religious person. He said, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I've been very, very close to the Blessed Mother and our Lord for 25 years. And when he said Blessed Mother, my legs got weak and my arm dropped down to the floor with the telephone. And I said to myself, you know, I can't believe this guy. He's witnessing to me on the telephone when, most people will never ask me if I even went to church. He's asking me questions about the Lord and the Blessed Mother. And I said to him, I said, I've been going to church on most Sundays, but really I'm not a religious person. And what happened is he then said, do you ever pray to the Blessed Mother? And again, when he said Blessed Mother, my knees got weak and my arm dropped to the floor. And I said, you know, I don't believe this guy. He's calling me on the table for my faith. I said, well, really, I don't. I might say Hail Mary prayer once in a while, but I really don't. He said, I don't mean to put you on the spot. He said, but again, I've had a great devotion to Jesus and Mary for 25 years. And I'd like to tell you about how they've worked in my life. And he went on for the next half hour telling me about the blessings he had received from our Lord. And with that, he concluded with this. He said, Joe, start praying to the Blessed Mother. I said, okay. And I hung up the phone. I never met the man. I never spoke to him again. And I never worked for U.S. Customs. But on that day, the Lord had given me the blessing of hearing his witness over the telephone. He was the Northeastern Regional Director of Customs, and witnessing to me on the phone. In any case, that was an amazing phone call, and the first time in my life that somebody had asked me to pray to the Blessed Mother. So I started to pray to the Blessed Mother, and that was the beginning of a journey, a 27-year journey now with our Lord and our Blessed Mother. And this is a very powerful opportunity right here on Holy Spirit Radio to extend that same invitation out to you to start praying to our Blessed Mother Mary and to our Lord, because we need their help. We all need it. And it's a very critical time in our nation. So I ask you again, do you ever pray to the Blessed Mother. Do you have a prayer life? What does that consist of? And this is an important question, my friends, and I hope that you are open, that your heart is open to praying to our Blessed Mother Mary, to getting to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because ultimately we need to get home to our Father in heaven. And the Lord says this: no one comes to the Father except through me. And this is an important piece of scripture that the Lord provides to us in various areas in the Gospels. And we need to come home to the Father one day. So through Our Lady, to our Lord, to the Father, is how the Lord invited me back home. And right here, I can tell you this, that the Lord has given me more peace in the last 27 years than ever before. And I want to share that peace with you as often as I can. As we journeyed through my own journey, we had many years of ministry. And the Blessed Mother truly gave me the opportunity to go to work for the Lord. And she invited me. She prepared me to meet the Lord. And she gave me just the comfort in understanding the value of the Word of God and how to move through the scriptures and to get closer into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Very powerful. 20 years ago, we formed the company, My Father's Vineyard. And after leaving corporate America and moving forward with a calling, I'll just tell you that the Lord has blessed us with running more than 100 pilgrimages in the vineyard. And many thousands of people have been on our trips to the shrines in the United States, Canada, Mexico, and even Italy. And so with that, you know, I want to share with you a story on how Our Lady worked for us one day. And we were on a pilgrimage to the National Shrine of Our Lady Mount Carmel in Newburgh, New York. And Our Lady Mount Carmel is famous for the scapular, the wonderful gift of the scapular that our Blessed Mother provides. And we were on the bus trip, and I found that there was a woman on board from South Philadelphia who had basically a daughter-in-law and son who were unable to have a child. And they were trying for 3 years. And with that, we went to the shrine on the bus. So we prayed the rosary on the bus. We prayed for her daughter-in-law, and we dedicated the rosary to her. We had 50 people on the bus. And when we got to the shrine, we had mass and we had the rosary there. And when we were up on the altar, and the priest and I were handing out scapulars at the end of the mass, and the woman came up to receive her scapular, and she looked at me, and I gave her the scapular. And when she turned around and started walking away, the Holy Spirit told me, he said, give her another scapular for her daughter-in-law and her son. So when it was all done, I went back to the pew and I gave her an extra one for her daughter-in-law and her son. And we had lunch to celebrate the birthday of our Blessed Mother Mary. It was September 8th in that year. We had brought a beautiful sheet cake. We had chicken cutlets and mashed potatoes and peas and onions, my favorite meal, and a nice salad and a beautiful cake. And everybody sang happy birthday to our Blessed Mother Mary. And then we rode home on the bus. It was a beautiful day. About a month later, this woman was on our trip to EWTN down in Irondale, Alabama, and Hanceville, Alabama. And when we met at the airport, at Philly International Airport, she was crying. And I went up to her and I said to her, you know, what's wrong? She said, oh, no, nothing is wrong. I just have some good news to tell you. And she told me that her daughter-in-law is now pregnant. And so it was only a short time after that pilgrimage that truly our prayers were answered for this woman's daughter-in-law to have a child. And I just share that with you, my friends, because the power of prayer is remarkable. And we don't understand it. We can't truly get that information until we meet the Lord and he explains it to us. But the power of prayer is very great. And on that day, we were blessed with the knowledge that her daughter-in-law was pregnant. And we had been to the shrine and we prayed on the bus, at the shrine, on the bus going home. And the Lord answered that prayer. So a beautiful story of how Our Lady was called upon to intercede, and the Lord blessed that family with children. A great blessing once again. And I just tell you that, my friends, because I want that for you, and I want that for everyone, that the love of God, the peace of God, and the word of God are the greatest gifts that we can ever give to another person. It's very powerful. But the gift of life is so important. And you know, Our Lady truly gave me the privilege of going to more than 100 schools as a speaker, and to go out there and bring the message of life, the message of family life, to our children at more than 100 schools. The Lord gave me a television show called Voices for the Unborn. And we were on the air for 10 years with Joe Mortimer. But prior to that, was right here on Holy Spirit Radio and was a guest on Bill Miller's show, Voices for the Unborn, and gave the testimony. And that was back in 1999, more than 21 years ago. And so the message of life and family life is very great. And we need to defend it, protect it, and to advocate for people who are running for office, who stand up for life and family life every day. They've been doing it for years. It's very critical, my friends, that we put good people in office who will protect the future of America, which is our children. And this is important. And I want to take a little detour, my friends, right now and bring you to what we call in Finding God in Prison, the Kids Corner. And the kids, I believe, are the future of America. So today we have a guest who's joined us, and his name is Dominic Gallardo. He's a student over at St. Ignatius in Yardley, age 7, and he just started second grade just a couple days ago. And so he's going to join us. We're going to have a little chat. Dominic, good afternoon. How are you?
Good, I'm good.
Welcome to Holy Spirit Radio, and welcome to Finding God in Prison, and welcome back to school. How do you feel today?
I feel great today. I just came back from school like 10 minutes ago.
And what was it like to be back in school here this week for you?
It felt good. I miss my friends a lot. I really wanted to go back to school, which I am back in school, and it's really great.
That's excellent. And can you go back a couple of months ago, when the coronavirus kind of struck the school system and they closed the schools? What was it like to be at home, unable to go to school for you?
Horrible. Like, really horrible. Like, I really didn't like being homeschooling, like, because I like being with my friends a lot, and I just wanted to spend time with my friends, but I can't because of the coronavirus happening now, but I came back to school, and I'm seeing my friends now.
Now that's excellent. And you have a new teacher. You're now in second grade?
Yes.
Okay. And how long have you been at St. Ignatius School?
Since pre-K 4. I think that's like 5 years.
Okay. So you attended pre-K 4 and kindergarten and then first grade, and now you're in second grade. So this would be your fourth year at St. Ignatius.
Okay.
Right. Well, we're really happy to have you on the air today. And can you tell us what you did over the summer? What was it that you did this summer?
So what I did this over summer, I play baseball a lot, and I have 4 games and we won. And the game is called Trombino Hair. Well, like not the game, but like my uniform is Trombino Hair. And I really like playing baseball, but the season ended now, and I'm back in school. And then my papa and I like to go to the jacuzzi a lot, and we play baseball in the backyard, and that's what we pretty much did.
Okay, that's great. And tell us, why do you like St. Ignatius School?
Because it's not like other, because it's a private school, and also it's not because like other schools, like the other schools, like you only play, and I really like St. Ignatius School.
Okay, very good. Well, we appreciate you coming on the air and joining us. So we'd like you to stay with us as a guest here for the rest of the show. Will you do that?
Yes.
Okay, very good. My friends, you're listening to Dominic Gallardo, and he is a second grader at St. Ignatius School in Yardley, Pennsylvania. He's age 7, and he is the future of America. He's a Lego master, a baseball player, piano player, and working hard to actually, just maintain everything that he does. So he's going to stay with us as a guest, my friends. And we're about halfway through the show, so we're going to take a little 1-minute break, and we will be back here at Holy Spirit Radio at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. We'll be back in just a minute. Thank you.
Years of changing and saving lives. I'm Maria Gallagher, the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation, and this is Pro-Life Notes. Pennsylvania's Pregnancy and Parenting Support Program recently celebrated a milestone, 25 years of serving key state women and their families. More than 300,000 women have been helped by the program, which has become a model for the rest of the nation. The program offers comprehensive counseling, along with everything from diapers to daycare referrals, everything a woman needs to get her baby's life off to a good start. We also know that Pennsylvania's abortion rate would be much higher were it not for this worthy program. At the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation, we advocate for full funding of this groundbreaking program, which is administered by Real Alternatives, Inc. To join us in our efforts, please visit www.paprolife.org. And remember, there's always a reason to choose life.
Dang, you're good. Thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever.
Okay, my friends, welcome back to Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. My name is Joe Montone, your host. Again, this is 1570 AM and 1420 AM, WCOJ and WISB. It is a privilege and a pleasure to be back here on the air. We have our guest standing by, Dominic Gallardo, a second grader from St. Ignatius in Yardley, Pennsylvania. And I want to share with you just one of the things that will reinforce the theme for our show today, which is the Blessed Mother Mary, our Blessed Mother, who loves us so much. And this is a brief story about the famous miracle in Fatima, Portugal, which began in May 1917 when 3 children aged 7, 9, and 10 claimed to have encountered the Virgin Mary on their way home from tending a flock of sheep. The oldest girl, Lucia, was the only one to speak to her, and Mary told the children that she would reappear to them on the 13th day of the next 6 months. She then vanished. The children soon told their parents, and while some in the village didn't believe their tale, others did and told more people. As the weeks and months passed, more and more of the faithful made pilgrimages to Fatima, where the children claimed to receive Mary's visits. Instead, they gathered adults, the adults gathered would stand riveted as Lucia took the lead and began to describe her visions. It was Mary's final appearance on October 13, 1917, that became the most famous. In his book, Looking for a Miracle, Joel Nichols states that an estimated 70,000 people were in attendance at the site, anticipating the Virgin's final visit, and with many fully expecting that she would work a great miracle. As before, the figure appeared, and again only to the children, identifying herself as the Lady of the Rosary. She urged repentance and the building of a chapel at the site. After predicting an end to World War I and giving the children certain undisclosed visions, the lady lifted her hands to the sky. Thereupon, Lucia exclaimed, "The sun." And this is the miracle of the sun. Not everyone reported the same thing. Some present claimed they saw the sun dance around the heavens. Others said the sun zoomed toward Earth in a zigzag motion that caused them to fear that it might collide with our planet. Some people reported seeing brilliant colors spin out of the sun in a psychedelic pinwheel pattern, and thousands of others present didn't see anything unusual at all. So the story of Our Lady of Fatima is very powerful, and the miracle of the sun, more than 70,000 people have had witnessed that over 100 years ago. And the message there was, again, for us to pray the rosary. And it was Our Lady, the Blessed Mother Mary, who has appeared all over the earth, okay, as the Blessed Mother, Our Lady of Guadalupe, Our Lady of Fatima, Our Lady of Lourdes, and Our Lady of Knock. So many times our Blessed Mother Mary has been out there working for our Lord to bring the peace through prayer. And she's calling us today to once again to do the same. It's very important. We see a great need for peace in the streets of America and throughout the world. We have countries who are not at peace. It's our job to be great witnesses and to get out there and to set people on the right path through our faith and through the love of God. It's very, very important. So the rosary prayer is the vehicle by which Our Lady told us to make it happen, to end World War I. I don't know about you, but it's very hard to end a world war, but our Blessed Mother Mary, the Mother of Christ, told us to pray the rosary. So the power of prayer is the key, and that is what we need to do today, I truly believe. So the Fatima miracle, my friends, is another indication that our Blessed Mother is out there working for our Lord to bring the peace. Okay, I want to, as we go through the show, make a transition into our readings for this Sunday coming up. And this is Sunday, September 6th. The 23rd Sunday in Ordinary Time. And our first reading is from the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel 33:7-9. And here it is. Thus says the Lord, "You, son of man, I have appointed watchmen for the house of Israel. When you hear me say anything, you shall warn them for me. If I tell the wicked, 'O wicked one, you shall surely die,' and you do not speak out to dissuade the wicked from this way, the wicked shall die for his guilt, but I will hold you responsible for his death. But if you warn the wicked, trying to turn him away from his way, and he refuses to turn from his way, he shall die for his guilt, but you shall save yourself." And this is right in line with the Blessed Mother, my friends. Our Blessed Mother is trying to dissuade us from these immoral, unethical things that are happening in the world today. The terrible misfortunes that we see day in and day out on the news. We have a responsibility to persuade people into the right direction. Okay, this is part of being a good Christian. And so we have an opportunity day in and day out to get these messages across. And this is the time to do it. Okay, if we don't do it, we're not living up to our responsibility. Again, but if you warn the wicked, trying to turn them from their way, and they refuse to turn from their way, they shall die for their guilt, but you shall save yourself because you were trying to do the right thing and tell them. So what messages do we have to tell them about, my friends out there? We have the message of life, the protection, the defense of the unborn child, because we have an entity out there who is taking the life of the unborn child for decades. And truly, this is an important issue that the Lord wants us to stand up for. Traditional marriage and family life between one man and one woman, so important, you know. And this is a great message that we must get out to the people. And then there are four things that opposing life that we have to look at today that is so important that we have to avoid. Things like divorce, things like abortion, contraception, and same-sex marriage. These things don't allow you to be fruitful and multiply, but they breed division and end the production of children. Think about it. Think about it. So the candidates who are standing up for these values and morals and biblical principles are aligned with our Lord, aligned with the gospel. Very important message. And if we don't stand up, we're making a mistake because the Lord will hold us responsible. Very, very critical message, my friends. And I want you to take it seriously. Our second reading comes from the book of Romans, Romans 13, 8 through 10. Here it is from St. Paul. Brothers and sisters, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. And these are the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not kill. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. And whatever other commandment there may be are summed up in the saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no evil to the neighbor. Hence, love is the fulfillment of the law. And the word here, my friends, is very important once again, because to love one another is the second greatest commandment. And our Lord Jesus Christ gave us that. He told us that. When you turn on your television tonight and listen to the news, how much love do you see in our world today? Not much. Our job is to bring as much love as we can. And this is what the Lord's telling us here through the lips of St. Paul. He says, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. Second greatest commandment. It's the fulfillment of the law. St. Paul talks about not committing adultery and not killing. On the news, we're seeing tremendous death and death rates throughout the nation in Chicago and Portland, New York, Philadelphia. We've seen evidence of this for years, but right now things have escalated. So whatever we can do to bring the love of God, the peace of God into the streets of Philadelphia and around the country, we need to do it. And there are many ways to do it. And God is calling us to do it. He is calling us not to steal. And having worked in prison for many years in more than 8 facilities, we know that, you know, that's a problem for a lot of people. Taking what is yours and making it mine is the problem. Not going to work for it, but just taking it. And that's a problem in the eyes of God. So stealing, thou shalt not steal, one of the great commandments. And we see many, many men in prison with taking something that doesn't belong to them. And it can happen in a family. It can happen in a corporate America setting. It can happen in the church. It can happen in prison. And it can happen anywhere in the world. And our job is to turn that around. Instead of taking something that doesn't belong to us, let's go to work. Let's get an education. Let's continue our education and make a good living. And let's give back some of that earning to the people who are less fortunate. Let's go back to the children in school and tell them how we did it so that they can do it too and build a good career and family life at the same time. Very important. But God's calling us to not steal and to not covet what is not yours. And today we see this in the streets where people are, you know, doing things that, you know, are reckless, and they are intentional. And God is going to have his say on this in not too distant future. It's important. So what can we do? There's much that we can do, and I challenge you to continue getting these messages out and to vote for the right people and to stand up for life and family life every time that you can. It's critical. As we move into our gospel reading, we're focused today on the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew 18, 15 to 20. Here, Jesus says to his disciples, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have won over your brother. If he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, so that every fact may be established on the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell the church. If he refuses to listen even to the church, then treat him as you would treat a Gentile or a tax collector. Amen, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, amen, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything for which they are to pray, it shall be granted to them by my heavenly Father. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." The Gospel of the Lord. And this is a powerful gospel, my friends, because it kind of makes you think about what is your state in life? What is your legacy? What are you binding up here on earth? What is your legacy that you're going to be remembered for the next 50 years when you pass? What will people remember you for? And so we have to be careful about what direction we're going so that we don't end up, you know, with taking every opportunity that we have to do good and doing the reverse and ending up in a bad place in God's eyes. Very important. And God says again, you know, amen, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything for which they are to pray, it shall be granted to them by my heavenly Father. So no one comes to the Father except through me. So when you're praying to the Lord and you're doing it in unison, but you have a clear mind, you're not trapped in sin. You're not trapped and under the influence of the drug of choice or alcohol. You are clear-minded and praying to the Lord with an honest heart and an honest mind. And where the faith is strong and the intentions are good, God can bless and very often will do it. Where the faith is strong and the intentions are bad, you cannot buy a blessing. So if the intentions are bad, and today we see great examples of bad intentions. We see it in many cases. So where the faith is strong and the intentions are good, God says, pray in unison and his Father will bless it. This is all faith. And we have to grow in faith to believe that. But this is from the Word of God, the Gospel of Matthew. And there were four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And today we're highlighting Matthew, who was a tax collector. But the Lord caught his attention and he left that vocation for a whole new way of life. Very, very powerful. So I encourage you, my friends, to pray and to ask God for good things for yourselves, for your children, for your parents, for your families, for your schools, for your teachers, for your friends, for your communities, for our nation, and for the world. But God is calling us to pray. And you know, many years ago, I was at St. Ignatius Church, and there was an adoration chapel that was built in the old convent, converted, and I was in the Adoration Chapel at 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. once a week for 10 years. And one day after a couple of weeks starting that positive habit pattern, a woman behind me said to me, would you like to pray the rosary? And that woman was Eleanor Ettinger. And Eleanor asked me if I would like to pray the rosary. And I said, yes, that would be nice. And as we began, she looked at my prayer book and she said, can I see that? And you know what? That prayer book, when I opened it up, was from my first Holy Communion prayer book in 1967 when I was in second grade at Our Lady of Mount Carmel in New York City. And my teacher's name was Miss Angel. And it was all written out right there with the address. And she said, how about that? And so in praying the rosary, she taught me about the mysteries of the rosary, the events that highlight the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus. So although we did the rote prayer in the Our Father and Hail Mary and Glory Be and the Oh My Jesus, it was in the scriptural part that we identified the event that was so powerful in the life of Christ, the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ, those 15 events that are in the Word of God. And Eleanor gave me that information at 5 a.m. to 6 a.m., week after week. And so for you out there listening, my friends, who is it that's mentoring you? Who are you mentoring to get people closer to God? Or are we just going day to day without any mentorship towards God at all? Think about it. What can we do? Isn't it time that we pray and truly pray from the heart? This is a great time to do it, my friends. It's a new school year, and it is a blessing and an honor and a privilege to be here on Holy Spirit Radio, this platform, to get these messages across. And I just want to say that we only have another minute in our show today. I want to thank Dale and Jane for having us back here on the air at Holy Spirit Radio with Finding God in Prison. And you know, you can go to our website and see and listen to all of our shows from 2014, where we have many guests. I want to thank Frank Eliason for producing our show and doing a great job so many times. And also, I want to thank Dominic Gallardo for joining us today and sharing a little bit about his new school year in second grade over at St. Ignatius. Also, we want to thank our Blessed Mother Mary, who does so much for us, who loves us so much. And with that, it is her birthday coming up, so we would like to join me in singing happy birthday to our Blessed Mother. And here we go. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Blessed Mother Mary. Happy birthday to you. My friends, I want to thank you for tuning in with us today. I hope you enjoyed the show. Remember, stand up and stand up strong for life and family life. And do all that you can to bring the love of God, the peace of God, through the Word of God into the hearts and minds of other people. My name is Joe Montone, your host. I wish you a great day, and we'll see you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. Have a wonderful day. God bless.